One of the evangelists that I followed over the years, who's now gone home to be with the Lord, his name is Reinhard Bonnke. He was an evangelist in Africa. He was a German evangelist, actually, born in Germany. And as a young boy, he had a vision of Africa covered by the blood of Jesus. And although there were so many hardships and obstacles, including from his own family, for him going to Africa to share the gospel, eventually the Lord led him there, and he had one of the most amazing and profound ministries in Africa. And his ministry continues now, called Christ for All Nations. And he would hold these huge, like massive crusades in Africa that would be like hundreds of thousands of people. It started very small, but eventually grew to hundreds of thousands, even millions of people, and amazing signs and wonders that would take place. Healings and miracles that would happen, multitudes of people coming to know Jesus. And if you want to read a very interesting book, it's called Living a Life of Fire. It's his autobiography. I finished it recently. So inspirational to see how God used him, how God called him, and through all the hardships. And if you want to hear some amazing, wonderful stories, that book is just full of them. But there was another book that I read many years ago where he talked about 12 distinct miraculous situations and experiences that he was in. And I want to read you one because I feel like me telling the story doesn't do justice to it. It's better that you hear it in his own words. And as I was reading it this morning, I was like, can I do this in a German accent to give you like the authentic, you know, thing? Because I'm hearing his voice in my mind. But here is... Here's what happened. One night, so let me preface this first. So basically, he was at one of his crusades, and when he finished it, he was driving back, and a young boy named David came to him, and he was sort of in the laneway. And so Reinhard Bonnke, he came out of his car and he was talking to this young boy, David, and he had just given his heart to the Lord at the crusade and committed his life to Jesus. And he asked Reinhard Bonnke, can you pray for me that I will be filled with the Holy Spirit? And he said, yes, of course, I'll pray for you. And so he prayed for him that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And after some time, after some months, Reinhard started to get some reports from the northern tribe saying, there is revival that is breaking out in some of these northern tribes. People are being healed there, and it's led by an evangelist who is a young boy. And Reinhard didn't know who this person was or what was happening. But a number of months later, this is the experience that he writes about. One night after preaching, I heard a knock at my door. I opened it, and there stood David, this young boy. His face was beaming with joy. Mr. Bonnke, he said, it is me, David. I remember you, I said. I prayed for you to receive the Holy Spirit in the field that night. Yes, may I come in and tell you what has happened? Of course, please do come in. He came in and I invited him to sit down. My wife Annie was with me. She made some hot tea and we began to talk. Tell me, David, what happened after I prayed for you? Well, he said, it was a very far to my village that night. After you prayed, I walked home. It was like walking on air. I did not feel the journey. It was not until dawn that I arrived. As I first saw my village in the morning light, I noticed a woman leaving the corral. She was carrying a bundle in her arms, and I thought that I could hear her crying. I knew this woman. She was well known in our village. The week before I came to the Christ for All Nations meeting, she had lost a child to black fever. I called to her, Mother, where are you going? In South African tribal culture, mother is a title of respect for any woman who has born children. This is especially true if the person addressing her is a boy like David, not yet a man. She did not reply, David said, but she came to me. She knew me. She was not weeping as I had thought, but she held out the bundle in her arms, and I could see that she carried her second child, a young boy. He was taken by a violent fever and was making a very strange cry. This is the cry that I had heard. I could see that this child too soon would die. The woman would lose both of her children to fever. Just hours ago, Mr. Bonnke, you had prayed that I would receive the Holy Spirit. I could still feel him with me. When I saw this woman, I felt love come from me like I had never known. I could not contain it. The Jesus that you preached about surely cared for this child and this woman. It was against tribal rules, David said, but I felt so much love that I decided to risk it. I asked her if I could pray for the sick child the way you had prayed for the sick in the tent meeting. I said, Mother, can I pray for your child? She said, Yes, yes, anything, please. I laid my hands on the child, and I could feel the fire of the fever burning in his head. I asked God to take the fever from the child. Suddenly, he stopped crying. The child sat up and said, Mommy, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. The mother was amazed. She felt the child's head and the fever was gone. That woman's eyes grew so large, she ran with the child to the village ahead of me. She went straight to the chief's house. She told him, David prayed for my child and healed him. Look, the fever is gone. She fed the child and gave him water, and he seemed to recover his strength immediately. He went outside and began to play with the other children. I went to my hut. I began telling my family about your prayer for me and about what had happened that morning. Suddenly, the runner came. He summoned me to an audience with the chief. I was afraid because the chief was so high above my family. I had never been to his house. He is our respected king, our royal leader. He is rich enough to support many wives and children. I came and bowed to him. The woman whose son had been healed was there with the boy. The chief said to me, David, I heard what you did for this mother. I have a daughter that no doctor can help. She is crippled. She was born with twisted limbs, he said. I have taken her to the finest doctors in Cape Town, and they can do nothing. I've taken her to the witch doctors. Nothing has been able to help. Please go to her hut and pray for her as you prayed for this child today. I told him I would do as he commanded. The woman whose child had been healed went with me. When we entered the hut, at first I could see nothing, but as my eyes adjusted, I saw a crippled girl lying there. She was on a pallet. Her legs were terribly twisted beneath her. Again, I felt the powerful love of Jesus coming from me towards her. I told her about Jesus. I told her how you had prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit. Then I told her that I could not do a miracle, but Jesus Christ could do what is impossible for us. So then I laid my hands on her and started to pray. As I began to pray, we heard a popping and crackling sound. I did not know what it was at first, but then I saw the girl's legs were straightening out before our eyes. That's when I realized that it was the sound of her bones popping and crackling. The woman who was with me screamed and ran from the hut to tell the whole village. They came running together. In the meantime, I helped the girl to her feet. She was crying. She stood for the first time in her life and walked with me from that hut. The chief was there to see her as she came out. The whole village had assembled. Even my family had come. You cannot imagine the shouting, the screaming, and the dancing that started then. At last, the chief quieted them down and had me speak to the people. I told them how you had prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit, and now I was able to see people healed in Jesus' name. At that moment, the chief announced that he would host a week of meetings in the village corral. He sent runners to all the tribal villages, commanding them to come and hear the gospel. I have been preaching and praying for the sick every day since then. You are the one, I said. This is Reinhardt speaking. David, I had no idea that you were the boy they had been telling me about. Reports are running all over South Africa that God has been using a boy to bring revival among the tribes. This is glorious. Yes, David replied. People are accepting Jesus everywhere I go. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. In this book, it's called Even Greater, and he talks about 12 just like miraculous instances and miraculous things that happened throughout his ministry. And I'm sharing that with you because I want us to believe in the Word of God, believe in the promises of God, and believe that Jesus, who we read about in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the same Jesus that is here today. It is the same Jesus that has power to heal. It is the same Jesus that has power to save. It is the same Jesus that wants to bless his people. It is the Jesus that we sing about that is a good, good father on this Father's Day that wants to pour out his love upon you. Now, healing always doesn't happen, but I like what Nikki Gumbel says. He says, 100% of the prayers that I pray that I don't pray don't get answered. But some of the prayers that I pray do get answered. And so we pray in faith. It's out of our control. We don't have abilities or talents or anything like that, but we pray in obedience to God's word in what he has told us. And as we pray in faith, I believe the power of the Lord is here today to heal. Do you believe that? When I was in England a few weeks ago, and we were in Oxford, and the vicar of that Anglican church shared, and he said, there has been prayer that has been happening here in Oxford, in this place, exact place in this church, for over 1,000 years. And he said, the space between earth and heaven is a little bit thinner here. And he encouraged us to pray. So can I tell you today that I believe right here, this place that God has given to us, this land and this building that people of Unionville Alliance Church had a vision about over 4 decades ago, that took the step of faith to build on this land, to purchase this land and build on this land, and how worship has been going on in this place and right here in front of the altar, I think the space right here is a little bit thinner between earth and heaven. Now, you can pray anywhere, 100%. And you can pray in your home, and you can pray in other places, and the Lord hears, and the Lord is everywhere. But I believe that right here, the space between earth and heaven is a little bit thinner. And as we come in faith, believing the Lord, he's able to do miracles and wonders for us today. And as we conclude our series on the book of James, this passage here that we're in from verses 13 to 20, we're going to read it a little bit later on. I'll read some of the verses as I share, but this talks about prayer, prayer that restores, prayer that brings people back to God. And one of the things that I see in this passage in the book of James is that he encourages us to pray. He encourages us to journey together in community. And friends, I can't emphasize to you enough how important corporate prayer is. It's strange to me why God would do it this way. We might think, well, God, why can't you just answer my prayers? Why does somebody else have to pray for me? Why can't you just hear me and answer? And God does sometimes, but sometimes he asks us to humble ourselves and go to someone else for prayer. Sometimes he asks us to humble ourselves and submit ourselves so that we can receive prayer from others, because that's the way the kingdom of God actually works. When God appeared to the apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, he was known as Saul in those days, and he became blind. And the people that were with him took him into the city of Damascus. And could God have healed Paul right away from his blindness? Yes. Could God have given him all of the instructions of everything that he needed to do right away? Yes. But instead, he had Ananias come to him. Ananias to lay hands on him, Ananias to pray for him, Ananias, as he prayed for him, the scales fell off of his eyes and he could see again. Why did God do all of that? I don't have all the answers to that, but what I do see, the pattern in Scripture, is that corporate prayer has power. And as we pray one for another, as James talks about in this portion of Scripture, there is power in praying for other people. Some of the times when I have felt the presence of God so wonderfully and so beautifully is when other people have prayed for me. And James talks about this in this portion of Scripture. When I was in England, we had one session with one of the bishops, actually Nikki Gumbel's sort of mentor. His name was Bishop Sandy Miller. And it was at the end, he's I think about 90 years old. And he did a session for us. And at the end of the session, they had some prayer ministry and people went up for prayer. And something in me said, just go and receive a blessing from Bishop Sandy Miller. And so I was thinking, should I go up? Should I not? Oh, there's a bit of a line there. Should I? And then one of the leaders at Alpha Canada, she was there and she came to me and was talking to me. And I was like, yeah, I was just thinking about going up. She's like, Daniel, go. Go. here, I'll help you. Hey, just go. And so I went there, and Bishop Sandy came and he prayed for me. He asked me about my wife. He asked me about my kids. And then he just prayed an amazing prayer of blessing that I just felt the presence of God right there. And I just soaked it all up. Have a 90-year-old bishop praying for you. Isn't that amazing? Who's walked with God for so many years and experienced so many things. He gave me some counsel. He gave me some advice. He asked about my family and prayed for me. And just, I felt the space between heaven and earth was a little bit thinner at that time. And it was beautiful. And so, friends, we see this in the Word of God. We are not meant to walk alone. And James teaches us in this passage about that. We see that, there is a community of faith that we're here to journey with. And so as we read through this passage from verses 13 to 20, we see that in every situation, you should know that you're not alone. You can make the decision to be alone and say, I'm going to just deal with this myself. And I'm not going to go to tell anybody what I'm struggling with. I'm not going to tell anybody what I'm going through. And I'm just going to deal with it myself. You could choose to do that. But it's not the way that God wanted it to be. He didn't want you to be alone. He didn't want you to face these things alone. He wanted you to go through it in community. In James 5, it says, are any of you suffering hardships? Deal with it alone. Good luck. No, you should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. We're making it a little bit easier today. You don't need to call for the elders. They're going to be here. Making it a little bit easier today. But any other time during the year, if you're going through a sickness, this has happened before. Sometimes people are going through a sickness or they're going to a surgery or something. They'll call us and say, hey, can some of the elders pray for me? We would love to do that. But today's a little bit easier. Our elders are going to be here at the front to anoint with oil and pray in accordance to this command here. The theme of the book of James is living what you believe. Be doers of the word of God. So we are reading this in the word of God today, and we are going to do that today. But it's not just meant for today. It can happen at any time as well. Ask us. We would love to pray for you. You are not meant to journey in this pathway alone. If you're going through suffering, pray. Invite people into that prayer. If you're going through some rejoicing, invite people into that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. Are you suffering? Pray, but don't pray alone. Pray with someone. Pray in community. Pray corporately. Don't journey alone. Pray in your small group. Pray with others. So many times we want to live this life alone and we say, I don't want to share my thing with this person. I don't want to share my burden with this. I don't want to tell others what I'm going through. I'm just going to hold on to it. But guess what? When you hold on to that burden, it becomes heavy. But if you share it with somebody, it becomes lighter. Are you happy? Sing. Look at what he says here. In Colossians, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Right? Now, I'll give you, some people have really good voices and they can sing a solo and it'll sound wonderful. But I would say for the majority of us, it's probably better to sing together. Right? Probably better to sing together, right? Okay? Because that's how God intended it to be. Let's sing together. We put the words on the screen so that we can sing together. Let's sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, don't get me wrong. When you're at home and you're by yourself and you're making melody to the Lord, please sing as loud as you want. When you're in the bathtub, sing your heart out to Jesus. But at the same time, it's not one or the other. But a lot of the times, it's just one that we walk alone. But you're not meant to walk alone. We neglect this communal, corporate aspect of prayer that is so important in our lives. Every Sunday after the service, our prayer team is here to pray. And friends, there is power in coming up and saying, I need help. Can you pray for me? There is power in coming up and saying, I had an amazing experience this week. Can I share my praise with you? Can you praise God together with me? You can do that too. It doesn't have to just be petitionary. It could be something of a praise. And God has made it this way so that we can journey together in one family. Are you sick? Maybe you're sick today. Engage your church community. Don't deal with the sickness alone. Galatians 6 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Don't journey by yourself. Journey with others. Share each other's burdens, the good and the bad, the difficult and the rejoicing, the things that are wonderful and the things that are hard in life. Let's journey together. And so James talks about this here in this passage in chapter 5, about you are not meant to walk alone. You're meant to rejoice together. You're meant to share your sufferings together. You're meant to pray together when you're sick. And that's what we're going to do today. We're meant to journey together. But then he goes into describing this community. He says, and I describe it this way, that we are called into honest, faith-filled, prayerful community for holistic healing. It's a mouthful there, so I'm gonna break that down. But this is what James is describing here. We're called into honest, faith-filled, prayerful community for holistic healing. And today, as we open up the altar, and as our elders are here to pray, you can come for prayer for physical healing. You can come for prayer for emotional healing. You can come for prayer for spiritual healing. You can come for prayer for mental healing. You can come for prayer for relational healing. Today's Father's Day. Maybe you don't have a good relationship with your father. And as you think about Father's Day, it's something that brings you sadness and hurt and grief. Well, would you come for healing for that? Because the Lord wants to heal us holistically in every way. In James 5, it says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other. This is the honesty part. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. This is a faith-filled part. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And then he goes into an example. Elijah was a human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. And so here, he's an example as an ordinary person. But let's go through each of those points here. The first thing is confession in community. And so James says that if you're sick, if you're going through something, come and receive prayer from the elders and confess your faults one to another. So I want to tell you as well, when you come for prayer, you don't have to do this, but maybe there's something on your heart. Maybe there's some darkness in your life. Maybe there's some unconfessed sin. Maybe there's an area that you feel is holding you back from relationship with God. Can I encourage you? And the elders will keep this private. I've already told them what's said here stays here. Maybe there's something you need to confess. Maybe if you come for prayer, maybe there's something that's weighing you down. Well, James says in the scriptures here, confess your faults one to another. As he's talking about prayer for healing of the sick. So maybe let's confess our faults and receive prayer for healing, if there's something there. But as James says, confess your faults to another, maybe there are trusted people in your community. There's trusted people in your small group that you can confess your faults to. Confession is a spiritual discipline that we should practice. Confession is an important spiritual discipline to acknowledge our sin, to acknowledge our faults, to acknowledge our failures. John says it this way, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so friends, if there's something that you need to confess, can I encourage you to do that? I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's sometimes humiliating, but there's power in confession. There's power in that spiritual discipline of confession. Confession in community is so important in our lives. And then faith-filled prayers. Come believing. Pray a faith-filled prayer. I told the worship team before they started their practice this morning, I told them, I said, worship team, we're having our healing service here, so we want to fill this place with faith, so no doubters, okay? If anyone's doubting, come, I'll read you some scripture and we'll pray and then come back, right? We don't want any doubters, we want faith-filled prayers. There was a time in Jesus' ministry when he was going to pray for someone and the people around were doubting, and can you do that? And so what did Jesus do? He kicked them out. I can't have any of these doubters here. I need faith-filled people. So he kicked the doubters out and then he healed the person. Pray faith-filled prayer. Then Jesus said to the disciples here in Mark 11, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. James encourages us here to pray faith-filled prayers. Come praying, believing, knowing that God is able to do it, because he is. There's nothing too hard for him. He may choose not to, but he's able to. He may choose to delay, but he's able to. And the belief in the promises of God and the belief in the word of God is what God wants to instill into our hearts. And then pray as a prayerful community. We read this about the early church. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the, who? The brothers of Jesus. Do you know who one of those brothers was? James. Yeah, the guy that's writing this letter that we've been studying for the last couple of months. He was one of the brothers of Jesus. And so maybe he understood this. Right after Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven, the early church, they were a prayerful community together. They united in prayer with Mary and the other women and the brothers of Jesus. That was James, and we'll read a verse from the book of Jude later on, and James and Jude were two brothers of Jesus, and so they prayed together. And maybe James realizes, and this is James concluding his letter with his heart burden, with his heart passion. He saw the blessing of praying together in community. He knew the blessing of corporate prayer together, because that's what the early church practiced, as they prayed together from house to house. He knew that. And so he's ending this letter that he's writing with an emphasis on prayer and wanting people to journey together in prayer and receive the blessing of prayerful community. Friends, church is not just meant to be on a Sunday morning. It's not just something that we come and consume. It's being part of a community together where confession is made, where prayer is given, where anointing with oil is done, and where faith-filled prayers ascend to the throne of God. That's what we want to do today. And James, he says in chapter 5, he talks about this anointing. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Anointing with oil. Believe in the promises of God. Look at what it says here in Peter. This is a promise actually from the book of Isaiah that's fulfilled in Jesus. And Peter quotes it. He says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Healing is part of the atonement. Healing is part of what Jesus did on Calvary, that we can be healed. So James, as he talks about this, then he, as we read before, he gets to this portion about Elijah. And he says, Elijah is just a common person. He's an ordinary person like you and I. And he prayed faith-filled prayers. And so let me tell you this, an ordinary person through prayer can do extraordinary things for the Lord. Do you believe that? That you, through prayer, can do extraordinary things for the Lord. Not in your own ability, not in your own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. As this young boy, David, who didn't know anything. He just got saved that same night. And he's traveling to his village and repeating whatever he heard. Later on, and I didn't read that portion, but in the same chapter that I was reading from, Reinhardt asks David, hold on, David, what are you preaching? You told me you got saved that same night. You never went to Bible school. You don't know the Bible. What are you preaching? And he said he was scared because he might have been preaching a false gospel or animism, which was very popular, you know, in Africa at the time. And David just said, I just preached whatever you preached. I was just repeating whatever you said. He's like, oh, okay, then you're preaching the gospel. He was just an ordinary person. He didn't have a lot of education. He didn't have a lot of knowledge. He just preached what he heard, and he preached the gospel, and God moved and did amazing things. And so, friends, we're just ordinary people here. Our elders that are going to be up here, we're just ordinary people. There's nothing special about us. There's nothing unique about us. There's nothing extra talented about us. We love Jesus, and we want to be obedient to his word. And his word says to anoint and pray. And so we do that and we leave the results to him, because we can't do anything, but Jesus can do everything. In James 5, it says, Elijah was a human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly, faith-filled prayers, that no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Persistent prayer. Dedicated prayer. In Luke chapter 18, we read about a parable that Jesus tells about the persistent widow and how she prayed. Verse 1 says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. And then he goes on to tell the story to pray and never give up about this persistent widow that went to the judge and wanted her petition. And the judge was unjust. But Jesus says, even though the judge is unjust, yet he will grant the petition of that woman. How much more will your heavenly Father give you what you're asking? And so let's pray faith-filled prayers. In the book of Colossians, it says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Friends, can we devote ourselves to prayer? That's what James is talking about here. In this corporate time of prayer, in the opportunity to pray together, let's devote ourselves to prayer. One of my deep burdens for Unionville Alliance Church is that we would be a people of prayer and that Unionville Alliance Church would be known as a house of prayer. And friends, it can't happen just by the staff praying or our prayer leadership team praying or our elders praying. It's not going to happen just by that. It's going to take each and every one of us to be devoted to prayer. We can't have anyone on the sidelines. Each and every person engaged in fervent, diligent, faith-filled prayer to see heaven come down. Do you want to see that? Maybe not. Do you want to see that?
Yes.
Are you willing to pray?
Yes.
Well, proof is in the pudding. Okay? Friends, we can say we want it. Are we willing to live it out? That's the whole theme of the book of James. Don't be hearers of the word, but be doers. It will cost us. It will require sacrifice. It will require giving up of our time. It will require surrender. If we truly want it, if we truly desire it, then let's be obedient to the word of God. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, it says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They were doing miracles and they were doing signs, and they couldn't understand, who are these two guys? For they could see that they were what? Ordinary men. The same words that James is using there. Elijah was just an ordinary person. Daniel is just an ordinary person. All of our elders, we're just ordinary people. There's nothing special. But look at the difference. Ordinary men with no special training in the scripture, similar to David, the story I told you at the beginning. They also recognized them as men who what? Who had been with Jesus. That's the difference. Be with Jesus. David had the Holy Spirit poured out upon him. He felt the love of God. Did you hear that? He felt the love of God like he had never felt before. And he knew, let me just pray. Let me just pray. And so Unionville Alliance Church, can we be what James describes here as a community of restoration? Through prayer, can we be a place of restoration? James ends his whole letter with these verses. My dear brothers and sisters, as he concludes, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. There's a restoration. There's a restoration that God wants to do. And if there's people that are straying, God calls us as a community, as a church, as Unionville Alliance Church, to be a community of restoration. James's brother Jude says it this way. Similar sentiment, similar words. Jude puts it like this. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Rescue those that are wandering away. Save those that are wandering away. Bring those people back into the fold. Let them experience and know the love of Jesus. That's what James concludes on. And how do we do that? By being a prayerful community. If we are a prayerful community, if we are a group of people that pray together, corporately together, when people come, they will see and know and experience the difference. And then when people are wandering away and when they're straying away, our prayerful community will draw them back to Jesus. Prayer can make a difference. I don't have time to tell you all stories about prayer. As I was preparing for this message, I was just reading one inspirational story after another inspirational story after another inspirational story of how prayer changed the situation and changed lives and changed circumstances. Friends, do we believe in the power of prayer? James certainly did. Elijah certainly did. Jude definitely did. Jesus believed in prayer, even though his prayer wasn't answered. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed and he asked, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. His own prayer didn't get answered, but that didn't take his faith away from believing that prayers get answered. His prayer to the Father, Father, make them one. As I am in you and you are in me and we are one, Lord, make them one. His prayer for unity, he's still left unanswered to this day. So talk about unanswered prayer. Jesus has been waiting for 2,000 years for that prayer to get answered and is still waiting. And so sometimes our prayers don't get answered. But as I think it was Bonhoeffer that said, if I remember correctly, that God answers our prayer or answers it in a way that we would want if we knew everything that he knew. And sometimes, because we don't know everything he knows, we want things a certain way. I encounter this all the time with Joel and Anna. I want this, and I want to do this, but it's going to harm them. I know a little bit better than they do. And so what do I need to do? Say no. For their own good. And if they knew what I knew, well, maybe one day, if the Lord blesses Joel to become a father, he might know some of what I know. And then maybe he'll look back and say, huh, that's why daddy was doing that to me. And maybe one day when we get to heaven, we'll look back and say, he was a good, good father. He was a good, good father. And so friends, can I invite you today to experience the goodness of God, to experience on this Father's Day the love of our Heavenly Father. I'm gonna finish off with a scientific report for all the intellectuals out there. And you might be looking at me, Daniel, come on, really? Can Jesus heal today? Come on, I don't believe this. So I wanna tell you, there was a study. It's called the Study of Therapeutic Effects of Proximal Intercessory Prayer on Auditory and Visual Impairments in Rural Mozambique. Long enough title? This is a scientific study. I have linked the scientific article in the notes page, okay? So I can't read through everything, but go to my notes page, click on the link. It's a scientific article. You see all the authors there, PhDs behind their name. Let me read you the summary. This is the background. Proximal intercessory prayer, known as PIP, P-I-P, that's the short form. That's what we're gonna do here. We're gonna do PIP, not DIP, okay? DIP is distance intercessory prayer. Lord, bless those people far away, right? But what we're going to do is called PIP, proximal intercessory prayer. We're going to pray close together. Proximal intercessory prayer is a common complementary and alternative medicine therapy. But clinical effects are poorly understood, partly because studies have focused on distance intercessory prayer, DIP, methods of this study. This prospective study used an audiometer, EarScan 3, and vision charts to evaluate 24 consecutive Mozambique subjects, 19 males, 5 females, reporting impaired hearing, 14, and or vision, 11, who subsequently received PIP interventions, or in plain language, people prayed for them. Results. We measured significant improvements in auditory and visual function across both tested populations. Conclusion. Rural Mozambican subjects exhibited improved audition and visual acuity subsequent to PIP. The magnitude and measured effects exceeds the reported in previous suggestions and hypnosis studies. Future studies seems warranted to assess whether PIP may be useful adjunct to standard medical care for certain patients with auditory and or visual impairments, especially in contexts where access to conventional treatment is limited. And then they wanted to replicate the results. They wanted to check in other places. Okay, this was really good in Mozambique, and it happened. They saw increased effects. So basically what happened was they had these 24 subjects. They tested them, they tested their hearing, they tested their eyesight, and they marked where they were. Then they prayed for them, and then they tested them again. And what did they find? They improved. And so they wanted to test it again. While the results of the main text suggested significant improvement in hearing and vision with PIP interventions in rural Mozambique, it was unclear whether these findings would generalize to other regions and cultural groups. To investigate replicability, we performed a follow-up study. The study was conducted during charismatic Protestant evangelistic healing meetings in three cities in Brazil, Sao Paulo, Barretos, and Uberlândia, during September-October 2009, sponsored by Global Awakening. The measurement methods for hearing and vision were the same as those used in Mozambique. And there's lots of things you can read about it, but one line. Overall, the results from the follow-up study in Brazil replicate the findings of significant improvement in visual acuity as reported in Mozambique in the main paper. Friends, I can give you a scientific study, and I have. Click the link. Read it yourself. But I can tell you even more better from the word of the Lord that Jesus heals. Peter came to the same conclusion. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, saw the glory of God, saw Jesus transformed, saw what happened face to face, and saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And then Peter writes later on in his epistle, even though I have seen that, even though I have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That is the written word of God, that his promises are true. His word is true. What he says he will do. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if Jesus says it, I believe it. And I have faith to pray faith-filled prayers. Do you believe it? No doubters here. I've told you an experiential story. I've given you a scientific study. But more than anything else, I've given you the simple word of God that is true today as it was yesterday, as it was 100 years ago, as it was 2,000 years ago. The same Jesus is here, and he's here to heal.